Colossians 3. That was it was actually the Sunday before camp is when I gave my my life over to the Lord. Had been saved when I was young, but it was a week of camp. So it was the Sunday before camp. We went down there, and Brother Ryman was preaching at another church. And so we were there, and then the rest of that week was just kind of letting the Lord speak to me. But that's when I had made a decision to say, okay, Lord, I want to serve you, and thank you for your goodness and kindness, and I want to follow you. And so that happened at camp. So camp has a special place in my heart, and I know the Lord can do a lot of things with them. Take their cell phones away, take all their stuff away, make them talk to other human beings. And it usually turns out well. To their surprise, it usually turns out well. Colossians 3 and verse number 5. We'll start there. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Paul says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And so, as we're working our way down through here in Colossians 3, this idea of putting off and putting on, we read that in verse 10, although we're not there yet, but it says, "And having put on the new man." We are in Christ when we get saved. We are to put off the old man. What's the old man? The old man is this flesh that you see in the mirror. It's what wants to always do contrary to the Lord. The old man always wants to do what it wants to do, not what the Lord wants it to do. And so we are to put off the old man. And when we put off the old man, we put off the works of the old man. The Bible says we're to mortify the members of the old man, which are no good. No good. Paul knows this. He talks about it himself. And he says, "Man, that I would do, I do not." He says, "What I want to do," in Romans 7, "what I want to do for the Lord, I don't do it. And what I don't want to do and I want to stay away from, boy, I'm prone to run to do that." And he talks about that battle. And it is a battle. And we are to mortify your members which are upon the earth. And that's what Brother Habman, Dave Habman, was talking to the young people about last night, at least at the end of the message. He was saying, you're gonna have to fight. You're just get used to it. You're going to have to fight. And when it feels like you're not fighting and you're relaxing, you're probably real close to doing something dumb. That's pretty much how it's going to go. It's just going to be a fight. And that's why we're not to be weary in well-doing. We're not to get too tired of it. Why? Because it's just a daily battle. And we should do it, though, to the glory of the Lord. And the Lord helps us. And so we're going to have to battle. And so we saw the unclean things, the fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, verse 5. We saw that. We talked about the wrath of God in verse 6, the wrath of God being on those that are lost. And for these things, the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience. That's Ephesians 2 that we talked about. And then in verse 7, it says, hey, you used to live in those and walk in those ways, but now we're supposed to be different. Now we're supposed to put off. So in verse number 8, he says, but now ye also put off these other things. All right, so in verse number 5, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, those, we get that, we understand. We shouldn't do that stuff. And covetousness, that's one that catches up, you know, catches all of us. Covetousness, which is idolatry. But then verse number 8, he brings it down a little bit to more where we live, hopefully. Hopefully you don't live in verse 5. But in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. All right, so get rid of these things as well. And the first one is anger. Anger. So let's look at that. Let's start there tonight. Anger. It says to put off anger. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 in verse number 26. Ephesians 4:26. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Be ye angry and sin not. So when we talk about anger, and we're not going to run all the references. There's a ton of them for anger. But with this thing of anger, we can be angry and not sin. All right? And we know that because of the contrast. It says, "Be angry and sin not." It's not a sin to get angry. All right? But we do have to beware and be careful that anger doesn't lead to sin. All right? So, be ye angry and sin not. So there is a way to be angry and not let it be a sin. And that means that we're going to have to pay attention. That means we can't just be angry at anything. We can't just let anger control us. And we can't just let it make decisions for us. If we can be angry and not sin, then that must mean there has to be anger, but is somehow controlled. Somehow it has to be in the right way. In the right manifestation of anger. Now turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, we get a little bit of a look here. Titus 1 in verse number 7. Now, he tells same things to Timothy. He tells some of those same things to Titus. Why? Because Paul sends Timothy, he sends him to Ephesus, and he sends him some other places, and he sends Titus out, and he sends him to these places to oversee these local churches in these areas that have been started. And so he's training them about who they should be training and who they should be looking for. And so in Titus chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "For a bishop must then be blameless." All right, so he's talking about these leaders of churches. He's saying, here are the ideal qualities of these preachers, these pastors, and these bishops or elders, as they're called in the Bible. And so Timothy and Titus, they both have lists that are very similar. And if you find a pastor that is perfect in all of these, then I suggest you get him. All right? I suggest if you find a pastor that is perfect in all these, you can get rid of me and put him in here. All right? Because these are high goals, all right, for anyone here. But look in verse 7. "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed." I'm not going to go over all these because, well, I don't want you to look in that quick at my life, all right? Not that closely. Look, here's what we're looking at. "Not soon angry." Not soon angry. All right, so it has a little clarification here. Not soon angry. So that must mean that anger is okay. But it says here, listen, it's not to get angry too soon. Not just to let it kind of dominate the other personality traits. Not to just hear something and then just fly off the handle at anything. Anger needs to be controlled. It needs to be controlled. Why? Because there's a right and a wrong way to be angry. Turn to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Preachers like to go to those passages about the bishop and the elder. Brother Grimes in Sunday school talked about double honor. An elder is worth double honor. And, you know, in the back, I'm thinking, amen to that. You know, and then you get into Titus and Timothy, and they must be. And it's like, whoa, let's skip those verses. Let's move on over those because those are convicting. Psalm 76, look in verse number 7, 76, 7. "Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" And who is this? This is in reference to the Lord. This is the Lord. This is God. This is Asaph speaking about the Lord, and he says, well, who's going to be able to stand in front of you once you get angry? All right, so it's not a sin to be angry, but we better control it. We better control it. Look in Psalm 29. No, Psalm 79, I'm sorry. Skipped some. Psalm 79, verse number 5. Psalm 79:5. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like a fire? The Lord gets angry. The Lord's angry with the wicked. The Lord gets angry with Israel. The Lord gets angry. And so, does that mean that the Lord sins every time he gets angry? No. No. But that must mean that he knows how to control it and how to direct it and how to understand what the anger is. Psalm 80, verse number 4. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? He says he's even angry when they pray. Why? Because they're living in wickedness. And they pray unto the Lord when they need something. They pray unto the Lord out of habit, out of ritual, and the Lord's angry at it. He doesn't get it out of here. He doesn't care about it. All right, now look in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Now here's why Titus says not to be soon angry. Proverbs 14, verse 17. The Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So when someone's quick to anger, which is what the Bible says, but when someone is soon angry or quick to anger, they're going to end up doing stupid stuff. They're going to end up being foolish. They're going to end up making mistakes. They're going to end up doing things that they regret because they're letting anger control them. I didn't know I had a temper or could get angry until I had kids. And then they brought it out of me. And you know what you have to realize? Sometimes you have to realize, okay, I need to step back here because I need to get control of myself, right? And people with bad tempers, what happens? If you don't want to keep saying I'm sorry, then you need to step back a second and say, okay, I can't allow this to control me. I can't allow the anger to control what I should be doing and what should be happening. Pastor Roscoe, my pastor in New York, he used to say, respond, don't react. He used to say that. Why? Because anger can be a reaction. Something happens, angry, instantly. But he says, respond. What is a response? A response is it's controlled. You take a moment. You think about what the right way to respond to this is. If it's to be angry, then it's a calculated anger. If it's not, if the anger needs to be controlled, then you do. Then you're supposed to do that. And so, what are these things? These are things of the flesh. Things of the flesh. Put off. You put all those other things? Yeah. But also, put these off. Anger. Why? Because if you're soon angry, you're going to end up doing foolish things. You're going to deal foolishly. Look in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:22. The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So an angry man, someone that's always angry, is going to be easily provoked, is easily going to just start stirring up problems. Why? Because he's always angry. We shouldn't always be angry as Christians. I understand, we can be frustrated and things of life can just overwhelm us, but we shouldn't just live in anger. Things aren't going the way we think they should be going. Things aren't happening in a certain way. You know, we have the Lord. We have the Lord, and we should be able to say, okay, this is just carnality. This is just the flesh. I need to get a control of these things and have some control. And, you know, some people, you know, might say to you or others, well, you got a quick temper. You got a temper. And anyone that can be soon angry thinks to themselves, man, I thought I was doing pretty good. I'm not angry all the times I want to be angry. but we need to work on that if you're soon angry. Some people, it takes them forever. And then once they get angry, it's over. My dad was like that. My dad, Nothing. Angry. Whoa. All right. That was 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Okay. How many times could I pull that off before that happened? Before we got angry? It was just 0 to 100, just like that. But it took a long time to get there. And so, some people, that's an easy one. Oh, I don't get that angry that often. But a lot of times we need to control and understand anger. Look in Ecclesiastes 7. And the right way to handle anything is not to compare ourselves with somebody else. We're like, I don't get angry like they get angry. It's to say, Lord, how am I doing with anger? That's the best way to do it. We don't compare ourselves to somebody else. That's how we always feel good. We just say, Lord, how do I handle anger? How do I handle that, Lord? And what do I need to do better about it? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It's hasty in our spirit. There's something connected with our spirit that brings anger. And a lot of times, I have a message called, it's titled, Sin Steals Joy. And so what happens, you find out, is especially Christians that just, the Lord keeps telling them something, and they don't do it, and they don't do it, and they just keep going, and the Lord tells them, and they don't do it. What happens? Their joy is gone. Their joy is gone because they're thinking, just leave me alone about it, Lord. And the Lord's thinking, I'm not going to leave you alone about it. And so what happens is that thing just goes on and on, and so sin can be in there or fester in there, or someone's not doing something right that the Lord wants them to do. And what happens? It turns into anger. And then it's quickly snapping at things and quickly just being angry for nothing. What do they think they're doing? You know, whoa, what just happened? And it's angry. It's anger. Why? It has something to do with our spirit. And when we're right with God, the spirit of man is in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not saying we're sinless. I'm saying we're keeping in contact with God, and we're trying to do the right thing, and we're confessing our sins, and we're going before God. Our spirit is at peace, because that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the opposite of that is anger. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. We're to put a control on it. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. We're to pay attention to it. We're to look out for it. Look in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Our spirit is the carrier of emotion, if that makes sense. That's having these discussions and trying to differentiate between the soul and the spirit and the scriptures and figure out what does what and who handles how and what happens. It's not that easy to define everything as far as the spirit of man. It's not that easy to define what it does. But the spirit of man is the carrier of the emotions. It is what our soul, our innermost being, it feels things, it has emotion, it does things, but it doesn't have a way to express that. The best way I can explain that is it's expressed through our spirit that we have, and the Holy Spirit of God as well. When the Holy Spirit of God is in control of our lives, and we are in communion with the Holy Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit of God is expressed through our spirit. And to have an angry spirit, that wouldn't be from the Lord. That would be, we're allowing the controlling of the flesh. We're allowing that emotion to be outward in our spirit. And so we need to, our spirit can learn from the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Corinthians says that the spirit of man doesn't know anything about God except the Holy Spirit of God. And then it teaches our spirit about God. It teaches us how we should be and respond and act from God's Holy Spirit. It teaches our spirit, so we need to be careful with it. Look in Proverbs 16:32. Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And look at the connection. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So there's some controlling of the spirit. We're to be slow to anger. It's better to be slow to anger than quick to anger. That's what the Bible says. It's better to be too late and being angry than it is to be too quick constantly to anger. That's what the Bible says. And it's control with the spirit. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And so there should be some control there. There should be, through the Holy Spirit of God, we should be able to control our spirit and not just let anything go. Anything that, any emotion that just comes into our spirit and we just out with that emotion. No, we shouldn't do that. We should have some control. We should run that through the Lord. We should be putting that, running that through the new man. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man in our spirit. Look in Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's discretion. It's discernment. Discretion, both Bible terms. Discernment and discretion. And we should get that from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. And we should apply that into our lives. And it says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Deferreth. It can push it off. It can delay it. It can say, okay, let me just make sure that this is the right thing to do. Let me make sure this is the right thing to be angry. Let me make sure that this is something that's okay and right to be angry about, and then handle myself correctly in that anger. Let me make sure that I'm in the right place here. And how do we do that? We do that through the Lord. We do that through the new man. The old man's not that concerned. But the Bible tells us what we should do about that. An angry spirit is not becoming of a Christian. The people that know you shouldn't just say, oh, they're just always angry. It shouldn't be that way. We should be able to have some control in our lives. And if you don't, figure it out. Get some control. Pray about it. Try harder. Pray harder. It's not good for a Christian to have a testimony of being constantly angry. Why? Because Galatians 5, we already talked about it, but Galatians 5 says joy is supposed to be of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we have to walk around always just bubbly. That makes me nervous talking about it. Right? I'm not a bubbly, overjoyous type person all the time. People that are make me nervous. And they're like, ah, what's going on? What's happening? Why are they like that? how are they? What's happening? You know, and so I understand. I could take some more joy in my life and be a little bit more joyous. I get that. I understand that. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so to be constantly angry and to be constantly just all torn up about something is not what a Christian should be. And you're not having a good time either. But some people identify so much with that spirit of anger that if they're not angry about something, they feel like they're missing something. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not angry. Let me find something to complain about. You know, let me get riled up over something. And you know, the reality is, I just can't. That's why I can't bury myself in politics, because I just get angry. I just get irritated. I can't have a constant, steady diet of just politics all the time. Why? I can't handle it. I just get irritated. I get irritated at everybody. Red, blue, I don't care. Yeah. Reprobate. Just, Lord, come back and fix this whole thing. And I can't do it. Why? I don't need help to have my spirit slanted towards being irritated. I don't need help with that. And so what do I have to do? I have to stay away from some things. There's some people, you know the type of person I'm talking about. You're afraid to ask them how they're doing because they'll tell you. Right? You're afraid to say, hey, how's it going? Oh, man. You know it's going to be something terrible's going on. You know, and you're like, okay. You know? And so, there's just going to be something like that. And, man, I can't surround myself with that. I can't surround myself with people like that. Why? Like, nope, I'm struggling here sometimes to stay on top of it, right? So, but we need to control that. Look in Romans 14. Romans 14. Now, some people never get angry, and they should get angry. There's some sinful things, and there's disobedience, and there's things that are against God, and every once in a while, you should get riled up over it. Every once in a while, you should get irritated about it. And you see sin, and you see the people just leaving the faith and following after the things of the world and the things of the devil. And sometimes Christians are running their mouths, and sometimes it's okay to get angry. You still have to know what to do with it, right? But sometimes it's okay to be angry. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Here's what the Bible says ultimately: for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, as the Bible says, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're seeking the kingdom of God. Of course, we've in this church, we've studied the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. And so the kingdom of God is what? It's spiritual. It's within us. It tells us right here. This is one of the proof texts, right? It's not meat and drink. The kingdom of God's not a physical kingdom where we sit down and have this big kingdom. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are inside things. The kingdom of heaven, that's the physical kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. That's what we dwell in right now. We don't dwell in a physical kingdom of God right now, a physical kingdom of heaven. God's not ruling and reigning over everything supremely right now. If he is, he's not a very good leader because this world's wicked. And so the devil is still the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world. He's still in control of all this mess. All right? And when God comes back, he's going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom in the millennial kingdom. And boy, it's going to be way different than this. It's going to be righteous judgment. We're not going to have to worry about all these judges making these crazy rules. And we don't have to worry about that. Why? Because he's going to rule, and he's going to rule righteously and rightly. So this kingdom of God is supposed to be righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what are we to do? We're to put off anger. We're to put off anger. And so if you're soon angry, you're quick to be angry, or you find yourself consistently angry and irritated, well, there's a couple things. What are you consuming? You might have to shut it off. You might have to shut it down. You might have to limit conversation. You might have to stop reading the news. Right? I don't care to read the news. Why? I get irritated. So you're just uninformed. I'd rather be uninformed and have some joy than informed and constantly irritated. Because that's what happens. It's too much. It's too much. And we don't even know what's true anyway. So then I find myself getting irritated. I'm like, oh, I'm so irritated about that. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't even know if that's real. I don't know if that's true. People are making stuff up for me to get irritated about, right? All for clicks and engagements and everything else. Like, oh, just throw this crazy thing out there. And I'm like, oh, can you believe it? Well, no. I don't know whether I'm supposed to believe it or not. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's just so much easier to take everything with a grain of salt. Don't get so caught up in everything. Hey, Facebook is not real life, right? Neither is all the rest of them. Neither is Instagram and Twitter and everything. It's not real life. It's not worth getting so caught up. Or, did you hear about that one thing I saw on Facebook? Can you believe it? I don't even go on Facebook because I just get irritated being on the platform. You just go on there. And now, listen, some people probably can handle it. I can't. I just get on there and see people arguing. You know, two people that probably aren't doing anything at all for the Lord are arguing over the opportunities to do something for the Lord. It's like, what are we doing? this is an insane waste of time, and I'm annoyed. So off it goes. No more for me. Why? If you're soon angry and you find yourself always irritated, well, man, figure out what you're consuming. It's not the Bible. It doesn't happen with the Bible. You can read and spend all the time you want in the Bible, in prayer, and you're not going to come away with a bad spirit. You're not ever going to. And so, but as far as this old man, we are to put off anger. And as next week, as we go through the wrath and malice, and those are closely connected with anger, they're kind of steps in that process. Wrath is anger that you start taking action on. Malice takes it to another extreme depth of bitterness and anger, and it just manifests itself, and it just continues to go, and we need to put that stuff off as a Christian. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to say, man, this sin keeps getting me in my life, and I'm mad about it. I'm angry about it. I don't want that to happen. It's to see stuff creeping into our homes and stealing the purity of minds of our kids and everything else. I'm mad about that. I'm angry about it. But it needs to be placed. That has to be placed then in the right spot. And so put that off. Put off the wrong type of anger. And check it. Always check it with the Lord. And check your attitude and check your spirit. And control those things. So, all right. We'll go ahead and stop there.